Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I remember when I was in law school, I met a guy at a party who was not in law school. He asked me how much law school cost. And I told him, I said, whoa, how are you paying for that? And I go, student loans. And he goes, so when you graduate from law school, you're going to be like neck deep in student loans. I said, yeah. And he goes, I got an idea for you. And it had just occurred to him, by the way. He goes, graduate from law school, and before you get a job, declare bankruptcy. And he goes, because at that point, you've got no income and a monster amount of student loans. You're obviously upside down. They'll have to grant that for you. And I had to break the news to him. I said, well, that's an idea. It's occurred to a lot of people, but generally speaking, it doesn't work. And again, generally speaking, student loans aren't dischargeable in bankruptcy like any other debt. There's a bunch of things that have to do with this, but one of the things is that they're often federally backed and so on, but there's special rules that apply to them. But every now and then, we hear a story about somebody who got student loans discharged in bankruptcy. And so those of us who just paid off our student loans have got to look at these stories and kind of go, huh, that's an interesting idea. Didn't know that was possible. So Amanda, thank you for sending the story from Yahoo.com. Arthi Swaminathan wrote this for Yahoo.com. Student loans. California woman sees nearly $350,000 discharged in personal bankruptcy while serving as her own lawyer. She represented herself and she ain't an attorney. Okay? So this is a great story. A California woman with more than $350,000 in student debt served as her own lawyer in a personal bankruptcy and got 98% of her loan discharged in this case. Court filings show that the education department and the Los Angeles-based woman agreed on August 30th that she could pay just $7,200 of her $356,000 outstanding loans. And by the way, that $7,200 she's going to pay is at a fixed monthly rate of $60 a month for 10 years. So she can pay $60 a month for 10 years, and then she's done. So once she completes the $7,000 payments by October 2031, she shall be discharged of the remaining balance of the student loan debt pursuant to her Chapter 7 discharge order. Now, a couple things happened here that were very, very different than what happens in the typical student loan borrower situation, okay? So first of all, the case highlights the growing number of student loan debtors obtaining relief through personal bankruptcy, and further dispels the notion that student loans are always exempt from court-ordered discharge. And of course, she acted as her own lawyer, so that's an interesting twist here too. An associate professor at the University of Utah and an expert on student loan bankruptcy law said, it's not a straightforward and easy process. The data has been consistent over the past decade. Folks with attorneys don't do any better than individuals who don't have attorneys in this specific context of litigating an adversarial proceeding. And it's the adversarial proceeding in bankruptcy that makes this different, but we'll get there in a second. The woman we're talking about is from Washington State. She started an undergraduate degree at the University of Washington in 1992. So the story goes way back, 1992. Within a year, she became ill and was diagnosed with type 1 insulin-dependent diabetes. She struggled to find a proper treatment plan that got her in and out of hospital for several years, which caused her to fall behind on her bachelor's degree program. She said she got a bunch of 0.0s on her transcript and said, I didn't know how to report medical illness to the University of Washington, and that ruined my grades. I was embarrassed. In 1997, she re-enrolled at school and only attended sporadically, however, because she worked at a job to qualify for health insurance to take care of her health issues. And her health issues worsened over the years as she was diagnosed with a brain tumor and had to stop school again in 2005 to focus on her health. So she's got medical issues and she's doing this thing where she's going to school, not going to school, and so on. She eventually re-enrolled in 2012 and earned a bachelor's degree in cinema studies in 2013. She then moved to Los Angeles to try to find work in the industry, and she wound up working in a coffee shop until she earned her master's degree in film and television from the graduate school at the American Film Institute Conservatory. After graduating, she made ends meet while working entry-level temp jobs on film and TV sets by driving for Postmates and asking for more hours at her coffee shop. She said, I did all that just so I could barely pay my monthly bills each month. And she had also accumulated $40,000 in credit card debt on top of the $300,000 of student loan debt. I always had my expenses down to a minimum, but it's Los Angeles. And LA is an expensive place to reside. So she filed an adversary proceeding, which is a crucial step for student debtors looking for financial relief through personal bankruptcy. She thought if she could get off the repetitive cycle of taking up payday loans and depending on overdraft protection to make ends meet, that she could reduce her monthly expenses and allow her to take on an internship, which could maybe lead to a job. Now, the coronavirus pandemic in early 2020 delivered a crushing blow to her finances. She lost her job at the coffee shop. She stopped driving for Postmates due to health concerns, and the film work dried up. In May of 2020, she filed a bankruptcy petition using free software tools provided by Upsolve, a nonprofit startup that helps low-income individuals file for bankruptcy. She served as her own lawyer, operating pro se. Months later, she filed an adversary proceeding to discharge her student loans as part of the personal bankruptcy. In that complaint, she listed all the payments she made to student loan servicer Nelnet since 2014, all of the dates when she had, been in forbearance, deferred payments, and when she had been on an income-based repayment plan in 2014, 16, and 19. And according to court filings, the highest amount she'd ever earned in 1 year was $33,000. That was back in 2011. Now, she says, "I made so many mistakes, it's ridiculous. God knows I tried." As she's recalling the process of preparing her papers, "The law is like its own language, and that to me was the most frustrating part." So, speaking about this with the people who make the software that she used, points out that very few Americans opt to file for bankruptcy for student loans. Says, first, they don't know that they can discharge student loans in bankruptcy. There's this narrative that's been perpetuated that it's impossible to discharge your student loans in bankruptcy. The second issue is that it's extremely complicated. The third reason is that on top of preparing an adversary proceeding, which is a detailed lawsuit, the debtor also is, in essence, taking on the federal government because that's who backs many of these loans, and that is such a complicated and intimidating thing to do. Furthermore, this woman was able to navigate through the system by herself, but fees can add up for debtors going in with a lawyer. So they're racking up lawyer fees on top of everything else. So in this case, once she filed her adversary proceeding documents, the education department decided to settle before the matter went before the courts. Court filing says, in order to resolve this matter without the need for further litigation, the parties agree that the plaintiff shall provide partial repayment of the student loans, that dismissal of the adversary proceeding with prejudice is appropriate. So once she filed her paperwork, the other side came back and actually said, in essence, looks like you've got a very good argument here. You're not going to be able to pay this money back, and you're going to meet the extremely high standards for getting this discharge in bankruptcy. How about if we let you instead pay off just the $7,000 instead of the $336,000 or whatever it was? So experts looking at this story said that she had filed a very, very extensive complaint. She clearly put a ton of time and effort into drawing this up and building her case, and ultimately a very, very good outcome for her. Matthew Bruckner, a bankruptcy law professor at Howard University, told Yahoo Finance that the woman here could have actually pushed harder for a full discharge given how serious her condition was. So Bruckner says, "I'm upset with my government that we are taking this woman and putting her through the meat grinder when she seems by any objective measure to satisfy those very strict tests, which are much stricter than the language should indicate." So generally, in personal bankruptcy cases involving student debt, the judge applies a test, which involves three prongs, to determine if student loans caused a borrower to suffer undue hardship. And so that is an extremely high standard to hit, and it's not going to apply to most people. And so getting back to my friend at the party who said, hey, just declare bankruptcy because you haven't got a job yet. If it was that easy, everyone would do it. And if everyone did it, they'd stop making the loans, and you can see how that would go. Someone like this woman here, her situation is very, very different. Number one, she had $356,000, $356,000 in student loans. That's through a master's program also. But also, it appeared that there's no way mathematically that she could pay this stuff off. And the interesting thing about student loans, this cuts both ways, is that student loans are backed by the federal government, so lenders will make them knowing they're going to get the money back. The interest rates are often pretty low. But one of the things they'll often also do for you is they'll let you put the loans into forbearance. If you're suffering a hardship, you lose your job, or something happens, and you can't make the payments, they'll often say you can put the loan into forbearance. And we'll basically move it aside. You don't have to make payments on it, but while you're not making payments on it, the interest is often still accruing. So what happens is you're saving money but not making the payments, except that you're racking up more interest. You're not racking up late charges, but you're racking up interest. And so student loans are something that often haunt people for decades. And there have been discussions in the last few years about how they really need to do better counseling. And I believe this is true. They need to do better counseling because there was a time when you could walk onto the campus of any university you've been admitted to and take out student loans. And you could take out monstrous student loans and get a degree which would almost guarantee that you'd never get work. And they would counsel you and say, oh, by the way, when you graduate, you're going to have this much in debt. And somebody actually ought to say, and by the way, the odds of you getting a job in this field are like this. And I'm not making this story up. And my friend Dave Reinhard, Dave, if you're watching, how you doing, man? Dave Reinhard sat next to me in law school in many of my classes. And good friend of mine. And he and I attended the class that you were required to attend in law school if you took out student loans. They said, you have to attend this class. And the class was given at the end of the program. So just a few weeks before the end of the program, they say anybody who's got student loans must attend this particular class where they're going to talk to you about what happens now that you're going to graduate with all these monstrous student loans. And someone came in from financial aid and started doing a PowerPoint presentation. Or its equivalent. This may have been using plastic, slides on an overhead projector. And she put one up on the screen and said, here is something to consider. And it showed amounts of student loans on one graph and how much money you needed to earn to pay it back comfortably. And she laid the two on top of each other. And both Dave and I at the exact same time go, it ain't going to work for us. Because the amount of money that we needed to earn to pay back those loans appeared to be lines that crossed someplace way off that chart. Now, I'll tell you, it wasn't that bad, okay? And it was simply because at that point in my life, I was going to have to earn more money than I ever had before to pay those loans off. And luckily, as an attorney, I've made money. So don't worry about me and my student loans. I'm fine. But there are people out there who have got 3 degrees and $500,000 in student loans and no job. And there is an issue. And I know many people in the audience are saying, Steve, if you borrowed it, pay it back. Of course. But there is an issue with some schools that would encourage people to borrow more money and suggest to them that you'll have no problem paying this off because when you get out of here, you're going to get a great job weaving baskets. Underwater. And, so we got to be realistic about these things. But it's a great story. Amanda, thanks for sending it. From yahoo.com, and Arthi Swarmanathan wrote it. Student loans. California woman sees nearly $350,000 discharged in personal bankruptcy while serving as her own lawyer. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. I was offered a job at a trampoline factory. You bet I jumped on that right away.